It's a Mike Grimm Monday. Last week he was with us on a Thursday, but now we're back to normal. Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football, and of course the sports director at the Minnesota News Network. Mike, a good afternoon, and how are you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, doing great, doing great. I mean, that was a fun weekend, certainly, with the Gopher basketball team getting that win against Michigan on Saturday night, and you know, that's a nice way to put an exclamation point on the weekend, that's for sure.
You know, let's start right there. A 10-point victory against Michigan. And this is a pretty big win for this Gopher team. And we've talked about this before. Expectations coming into the season relatively low for a Ben Johnson, first-year head coach. They go on the road against a Michigan team that is kind of off to a slow start. I think they're close to having as many losses already this year as maybe they had all of last season. Juwan Howard's team not off to the best start, but no matter what the case is, the Gophers go to a place that is always tough to win in Ann Arbor. They pick up for the most part, I thought a pretty, I don't want to say dominating, but they showed they were the better team on Saturday. They win by 10, and Gopher basketball talk, I think, just went to a new level. I mean, if people were not paying attention, Mike, to this team before Saturday's game, they are now.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, you said it well. I agree with you. I thought they, certainly the second half, they came out and basically, you know, the old proverbial punch in the mouth. I think it was 21-9 Minnesota scoring to start the second half. At one point, I know it was 28-14. So whatever Ben said to them at halftime worked, because they came out ready to go and Michigan not. And you're right. Michigan last year was 25-3. Counting their loss in the tournament, and this year they're 6-4, so they've already surpassed their loss now from a year ago. That said, this is a team that is still pretty talented. The returning Big Ten champion, they had the number 3 ranked recruiting class in the country. They had 6 players in the top 127 in that class, and really 3 of those guys are hardly playing at all, and 2 of them haven't played a lick. And that means or tells me that they have a pretty talented roster. So for Minnesota to go in there, a place they hadn't won since 2011, 10 seasons, Michigan was 8 in a row. They were 8-0 in the last 8 at Ann Arbor. And now Minnesota's won 3 of the last 4 in the series, which is nice as well, against a really good, highly regarded, you know, program. And you know, the Gophers are sitting here at 8-1. They're sitting here at 1-1 in the league with a monster road win. And now all of a sudden, I think it gets interesting, because this team has done it by trying to prove people wrong. I mean, I think everyone thought that, you know, this team wasn't going to be very good. They were unanimously picked as the bottom team in the Big Ten. Now, that said, nothing's been accomplished. They still could finish 14th, right? We don't know. I mean, the Big Ten is a bear, right? I mean, look, if you lose 1 or 2, that can turn into 6 or 7 fast. So I don't think we want to put anything ahead of anything yet. That said, they're playing way better than I think anyone could have asked for. They're on the same page. What really encouraged me was, even though they went through in that first half against Michigan, Aaron, they went through a bit of a shooting stretch where I think they were 1 for 7. And I thought back after the game, I'm like, all 7 of those shots were really good. Like, this is a team that is playing so well as a team, spacing on the floor, setting picks. They've got a little funky two-man game that Willis and Curry are playing, where it's hard to defend. Willis kind of dribbles into no man's land and hesitates, and they don't know if they collapse on him, it's going to be a pass to Curry. And, you know, they're getting good shots. So to me, if that continues, this team could have some success. Now, the question is, when you go from no expectations and all of a sudden put together a nice stretch, how do you handle that? Now the expectation, like honestly, I see people now tweeting that, hey, this could be a tournament team. Like, who would have figured that?
Yep.
And so how do you handle the expectation now if that becomes the expectation? I'm still not ready to proclaim the Gophers. Hey, could they make the tournament? Of course, if they keep playing like they did Saturday. You know, so now how do you handle it when all of a sudden you've got people now, hey, this is a different look now. This is, hey, you know, you should be winning some games. And so, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty fun team to watch. I really have enjoyed watching their games.
Mike Grimm recapping that 10-point win against Michigan on Saturday. And, you know, you hit every, I guess, a bullet point I was going to talk about with, you know, with expectations, because now they're high, but we still have to temper those expectations, because we know this is a team that's got, I mean, the whole team is pretty much new for the most part with first-year head coach Ben Johnson. I think tomorrow's a very interesting game. Now, I know nothing about Texas A&M Corpus Christi. I'm sure you do, Mike. But this is a game that as a Minnesota sports fan, you would call the ultimate trap game, because we know how Minnesota sports teams in history seem to work. You come off a big win, you get a team that no one knows about at home, and that's when bad things happen. Now, again, what do you know about the opponent tomorrow night? Hopefully the Gophers can take care of business against a team that I'm sure on paper they're better than at the Barn tomorrow night.
Well, at this point, as you know, I'm out of town, so I went from Ann Arbor to Minneapolis. I'm in Winston-Salem, North Carolina today. I'll fly back tomorrow for the game tomorrow night. The extent of my knowledge on Texas A&M. I can't even say the school. That tells you how much I'm in on it at this point. And I don't want people to think Grimm's mailing this one in. I'm not. But Texas A&M Corpus Christi, the extent of my knowledge is that their school colors are green and blue. And the reason for that is I brought my green and blue. I had to pack light for the trip. And so I didn't bring my entire case of stuff that I usually take on the road. So I pulled a green and a blue marker out as I'm traveling home tomorrow. I'll be game prepping. That's my scouting report. They will have green or blue or both on their uniforms tomorrow night. Outside of that, I think you hit it on the head. Minnesota is likely the favorite, and they should take care of business and hopefully not get caught in a trap game. And I hope there's a good crowd too. I think, you know, this is a team people, and you know, I've talked about this before. I'm not one to tell people how to spend their money. It's their money. And it's not cheap going to sporting events nowadays. So I'm not saying anything about, you know, who should spend their money how or who deserves what in terms of support in the town. But coming off that win and the start they've had, I hope that when they get back there tomorrow night, they'll have a nice crowd. And if people want to throw a few bucks to go watch a pretty entertaining basketball game and a basketball team, I hope they have a good crowd tomorrow.
Well, let me give you a little scouting report. They're 9-1. They're 9-1. The Islanders. So yeah, they beat Denver. They beat University of Texas San Antonio. Did the Gophers play them? They played the Roadrunners, didn't they?
The women did. I believe.
The women did. Okay, yeah, you're right.
The Gopher women. Yeah.
So there you go. There's a little help for you, Mike. 9-1 on the season. They're coming off a win on Saturday. They won by 14 against Omaha. So this is not a game to mail in. I mean, it doesn't matter who you're playing, 9-1. So, like you mentioned, get to the Barn tomorrow night because this should be a good one.
Yeah, I agree. And, 9-1 is impressive. And you know, Denver and Omaha, you know, those are two teams out of the Summit. We know how good the Summit League has been in recent years. And so, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is one. I think the team knows that. It doesn't mean they won't be flat at some point. I mean, just because you know it's a, you know, you have to come out every night. You know, it's a hard business. I mean, even as everybody wakes up for their line of work and you know you have to bring it, sometimes you don't. But I think this team understands its situation. I think they know that they have to be sharp in order to win games. And so far they've played that way, which is again, fun to watch.
Voice of Gopher men's basketball and football, Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. And if you can't get to the Barn tomorrow night, we got the game for you with, of course, our good friend Mike Grimm. 6:30 pregame, tip off at 7 right here on Kate. We got to talk about the Gopher volleyball team. And I watched most of the matchup the other night in the Elite Eight against Wisconsin. I haven't watched a lot of college volleyball, but when I heard Wisconsin as a front line of 6'9 and 6'8, I'm going, you know what? That's pretty impressive. That's a pretty tough front line. Gophers get beat 3-0 against a very good Wisconsin team and moves on to the Final Four. But nothing against the loss. This Gopher volleyball program in recent years has been a powerhouse in the national spotlight, and they showed it again this season. A tough loss to a very good Wisconsin team that year after year, the Big Ten shows that they're a powerhouse when it comes to college volleyball.
Yeah, Big Ten with two of the four teams again in the Final Four. I think the ACC has the other two. This team was right on the cusp. I think they've been to three Final Fours in the last 7 years, the Gophers. So three times they've broken through and gotten to the Final Four. This year they were right on the cusp, and Wisconsin was just too much. And that Wisconsin team is really good. The Gophers basically had that Wisconsin team beat in a conference game a couple of weeks ago, and then Wisconsin showed its stuff and rallied to claim a fourth set and force a fifth and win that. So Minnesota was up like 17-10 in the fourth set, and had they won that set, they would have won the match 3-1. So they ended up losing a five-setter. This one was a three-setter, and Wisconsin's playing at a high level. They could certainly win it all, and they have one of their better players that hasn't played much at all this season because of injury, too. So, and the Gophers as well. They have Landfair, who barely played, and she was the number one recruit in the country a few years ago. And, you know, hopefully she gets healthy and can play next year, and most of this team is back next year for the Gophers and Hugh McCutcheon. And no question, you make the Elite Eight, you know you're amongst the elite in the country, and hopefully next year they can build on that.
I think one player, and I remember covering her when I worked up in New Prague, Cece McGrath, a prior Lake grad, the libero. I think she's done. She's had a stellar career for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. But like you mentioned, a lot of players coming back, and hats off to your Gopher volleyball team on a great season again, getting beat in the Elite Eight. Now, Mike,
I should mention Stephanie Samity, player of the year twice in the Big Ten. She will also. She used her last year this year. So they'll have some holes to fill, but there's no question. But I do think they feel pretty good about some of the people they're bringing into the program and who they have there to take that next step.
Mike, I want to turn our attention to the NFL. And when you look at the standings today in the NFL, when the NFL announced that they were going to put an extra wild card team in each league, AFC and NFC, this is what the NFL was looking for. There are so many teams with just a handful of games left that have a chance to make the postseason. 6-7 teams, 6-6-1 teams, 7-6 teams. The Vikings, of course, they're right in the mix of it with like four or five other teams. The NFL, they are dominant when it comes to popularity. They know what they're doing, and the NFL showed that once again by introducing another wild card team, because there are so many fan bases that can still be excited with, I believe, just four games to go in the regular season.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's kind of what baseball did a couple of years ago when they added it. You know, all of a sudden teams that are around 500, you know, one hot streak in September can put you in the postseason. And for some teams, that can get you, you know, into the World Series. And so the NFL has added that. And certainly part of the reason that MLB and NFL have added that is it's extra revenue. Another game on TV means, you know, literally millions of dollars to split up, not to mention the, you know, just ticket sales and some of the revenue it creates off that. So it probably at the end of the day is mostly about money, but I think it's also about keeping fan bases interested and giving people more chances. And, you know, more often than not, that last team that makes it is probably a sacrificial lamb to one of the better teams, but, but that does, you know, that isn't always the case. I mean, there's been some wild card teams certainly that have won the Super Bowl in the past. So all you need is a chance. And if you get hot at the right time and get a break, who knows? I mean, frankly, even this Vikings team, and I know people are going to maybe roll their eyes, but you get in the tournament, you never know.
You never know.
A pick six here and a big, you know, 300 and some yard passing game here and a big Dalvin Cook day there. You just never know. That's the beauty of why we should, one, not be putting this season to bed yet and declaring everyone should get fired and you should start over. Now, eventually that might be the case, but as of right now, why worry about that? Let's see what, you know, happens. This coming weekend with the, I guess it's a week from tonight, right, with the Bears.
Correct, yeah.
Bears gave the Pack a pretty good run last night, and they were ahead, what, by 10 or 13 at half or something. And then Green Bay did what it did. But, you know, I mean, at this point, there's nothing. You're right. With the expanded playoffs, the point is to get in and then give yourself a shot. So we'll see where it heads. And there's no doubt this Vikings team on occasion has shown that, you know, it can play. Now, in these final four games, can it get to that consistent level? One, to get a spot at the table, and then if you have a spot at the table, what can you do with the cards you're dealt, you know?
Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE. And Mike, you were nice enough to send me a picture on Thursday night from the Vikings game. They beat Pittsburgh, of course. I was out on Thursday, had some family things to take care of, so I was not running the G. But what I got from your text and what I saw in the picture, my job is not in jeopardy. And I was worried Thursday night. So whoever they brought in, whatever ringer came in to do the G on Thursday, was not able to fill my shoes. And I'm very grateful for that, because I'll be back out there whenever it is, a week from Sunday, I think, when the Rams come to town.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because the most popular position is always the backup, right? So, you know, all these Twitter followers were clamoring for a new G. You know, they wanted to give a guy a new G a chance, and they tried, and it's clear that they made the right decision the first time, that the G that they had is the guy that they want. So your job not only is safe, but I don't know who the replacement G was, but he is clearly not up to the task. He's going to have to go back to AA and get a few more at bats, I think.
Oh, I'm glad Twitter stood up for me. I'm glad they spoke. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
No question. I'm here. I'm here, man. I'm here for you. I mean, he was okay, but you know, the running form wasn't great. I thought his elbows weren't quite where they should have been with the holding the flag. At one point, the flag got wrapped up around itself a little bit around the stick, and you don't want that.
Correct.
You know, you got to see the G as you're running around there. So, no, you're the G. There's no doubt about it.
Here is the prerequisitions or prereq of what you have to do or be able to do to be a flag runner. And it's really strict, Mike. They'll let anybody do this. You have to be able to run in a straight line and have enough arm strength to carry a flag that's really not that heavy. Besides there's a lot of people that can't do that, right?
I'll be honest, that eliminates at least half the population. You know, running in a straight line and holding something heavy, that's, you know, half the people are out. So you come from a small group, a small talent pool, and you've made it. And I might mention it's close to my heart because, you know, G for Grimm, I know that's why you're running.
That's why.
You know, so there you go.
See, I'm representing you, my friend, every time I'm out there on the field. Absolutely. Mike Grimm, awesome. Monday here on KETA. Always good to catch up with our good friend, Mike. He's out of state, but always takes time for us here at Kate Radio. We appreciate that. Mike, we'll let you go, and we'll hear from you again tomorrow on the pregame show as Texas A&M Corpus Christi, the 9-1 Islanders, come to the barn to take on the 8-1 Minnesota Golden Gophers. Look forward to hearing the broadcast tomorrow night. Mike, have a great week, and we'll touch base next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Aaron.